Last time on Idle Fantasy, the Fantasy Freaky Friday 3 had finally learned their new, unimproved identities and set out to find what they could about their borrowed lives. With Vatic's workshop secured, they visited Teddy's modest home just down the road before turning towards Veld's graveyard, where Glitch's quarters lay and their hidden underground cavern lay in wait too. Inside, they gazed upon a scene of cultish horror, demarked only by a sprawling symbol of a black sunburst. What could it mean? And what about the Duke? Does he still stalk our heroes? Find out in this episode of Idle Fantasy. To Idle Fantasy, it's episode 5. We're still doing it. It's Freaky Fantasy Friday time here.
Freaky.
Get out of my shit, guys. Do you know what? You all find it very easy to piss around and have a good time when I'm manically trying to keep up with your weird brains and the directions they're going in. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I have a brain fart every now. Anyways, Paddy Jervis is over here.
Yes, hello. Paddy Jervis with my magic bum.
And Zach Cole with his less magic bum?
No, none of it's magic. None of it's... I don't have a magic anus. It's just not...
I said bum.
Or penis.
If you want to go that way.
No. Disappointment.
And Liam Welton with his dependable bum.
Yeah. That is how I'd describe your ass.
Yeah, that is true.
Solid as a rock.
Good, but we'll just cool. We'll leave that there. Guys, we're gonna jump straight back in because we found some pretty fucked up stuff last time. In fact, if anything, this podcast is Zach, Paddy, and Liam discover their characters' disgusting backstories. The musical. Right?
Mine wasn't disgusting. I mean, mine was just sad.
Yeah, to put it in context, yours is pretty sad. Liam's is quite sort of pedestrian as far as we know so far.
In fact, it's that somehow even more sad.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm some kind of serial killing sort of necro man.
It's true.
I just had a weird thought
about Liam's character, right?
Yeah.
If you're like a 45-year-old man that just runs a business and like he's got like potions and shit, you just sell potions. Imagine getting to 45 and being described as level 1.
Oh, yeah,
that's a good point, man. Do you reckon that's an insult that the NPCs throw at each other? Oh, you're such a level 1. You're so small-minded.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I hope so.
And now we're all effectively NPCs that someone has forcibly removed the N and they're like, oh, shit.
We go around going, learning doesn't stop at school. I can level up still.
So, if I may, bring us back into the story. Zach's just spilled
tea.
I just spilled tea everywhere.
It's alright though, it's on my nice little leather notebook.
Lovely.
Which, yeah, it hasn't permeated the leather, so.
Just in case anyone was wondering.
What a great buy!
Thank God the leather remained unpermeated. You'll remember that last time in this podcast that we make together, and I shouldn't have to remind you, you had to deal with Derek and Nige, the passed out halflings, which you did with Liam's crazy corona potion.
Yep.
Capotion.
Yeah, the magic corona.
Magic corona.
Magic corona.
Yeah, good.
I could not do it because I wanted to do it last time so badly, but Laurie looked at me.
Corona, it was our advert.
Yeah. Laurie kept looking at me as if he was to say, I swear to God, I burn this house down if you sing that song.
Oh, it was fine. You're just doing it every. Just trying to do a story recap, and you went into a fucking my corona bit.
You guys are my friends.
You were my friends. And after that, you went around to Zach's house, which was a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not for me.
Yeah. And not for Cassius as well.
Yeah, man, I got a sheet with my face
bit
on.
A bit of a fanboy. And then you went to Glitch's place, which was eye-opening, I think.
Yeah, eye-opening's the right word.
Another type of disappointment would be a good way to describe it.
And well, that's where we're going to find you guys. And I think also I'm making an editorial point now. I'm going to call you by your character names as your physical character names, right? So we got Teddy, Nobsy and Gringo. Right, those are the three?
Yeah, that's it, right? That's canon now.
Yeah. Glitch and Fatic and Teddy. Yeah. So, Teddy, you stepped outside, having played around with the torch and been thoroughly disturbed by what you saw in Glitch's sex and torture dungeon.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Draka was thoroughly disturbed. I just think he has no interest in his death dungeon.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And as a result, has taken Teddy outside.
Yes, fair play. And meanwhile, the other two of you are inside.
Where I would like to no longer be.
you, I mean, Glitch is probably at this point staring, still in wide-eyed wonderment and absolutely enjoying this.
I think he's sickly fascinated by it all. I really think he is.
Okay, I'm going to grab you by the hand and lead you.
Yeah. Okay, just before we go, look, if I'm as evil as it very much appears I am, and the three of us are now wanted, can I just quickly look at that little pile of cloaks and see if there's any hoods or something we could... If we need to get around slightly under the radar, is there any kind of... anything hooded?
Oh, I see.
Out of character, are we wanted? Why are we wanted?
Yeah, no, well, I think we're wanted by the Duke, mate. We just beat the shit out of two of his men and, for all we know, killed his dog. And,
But I thought, didn't we run them out of town?
And I appear to be in some kind of cult. So, yeah, but he's going to know. He sent them to Wattex and then they fucking disappear.
I just made it really clear. Last time we had this episode and we did this, I told you. You wanted to kill a dog, but you were like, no, we'll find out if we kill the dog.
He was the dog.
We could have killed them. We could have just killed them. We would have this problem now.
Yeah, and now we're getting hoods to solve the problem.
Are you? No. Do you know what? Okay, this is how this pans out. You look at these hoods that you found, the list, the name, the list of targets or names or whatever it might be, with your three previous lives written on it as well. And as you're looking at this robe and shaking it out, you flop over the top and you realise, oh, it's hooded. And then you absentmindedly put your hands to the back of your own cloak, reach around, and you find a hood on your robe.
Oh, fantastic.
Which has been there the whole time.
Oh, great. I've got a hood. Do you guys want hoods?
I don't think you really need to do a perception check to know that you were wearing a hood.
I think it's apparently I do, guys.
You never asked.
Look, the DM's right.
Okay, I put my hood up there.
You guys taking some of my death robes?
No.
Apparently you don't have a hood. No, it's only
I've got a hood. You guys don't have hoods.
They're not going to fit me.
I don't think you do. I think Teddy's
adorable,
wearing kind of...
though, Liam.
Do I not have a... I've got an... Does an explorer's pack not come with a cloak of some kind?
Nah.
I mean, maybe. No, you don't have a cloak. No, all right, cloak.
Fine.
No cloaks.
Look.
You've got chainmail and you've got overalls. That's all you got.
Great.
All right.
I wanted to get out of here.
Yeah, let's move on.
So maybe what are you dragging him out?
I'm dragging you out.
As I put my hood up into the night.
Yeah.
The three of you go back upstairs and you see old Teddy. And are you closing back up?
I'm resetting. I assume I can reset with the broom.
Just like a lever. You put it back into position against the wall, and it. And the stone opening in the floor closes back up again.
Okay.
As if nobody was there.
Well, I suggest we get the fuck out of here.
I like that.
I think also in terms of HQs, so far Teddy's place probably winning. I mean, not the scene of a crime, and not also the scene of a crime. So we'll use that as HQ from now on, maybe, but we don't need to come back here anytime soon, necessarily.
Sounds good. I'd just like to, really quickly, it's been a long time since I've swung my hammer at something, so... Kill the Duke?
Well, look, I've got a plan, right? So, we got those bandanas off of the two halflings.
Bandanai.
The bandanai. How about, I'm a pretty sneaky fella, we go to the Three Goat's Head, you two wear the bandana, go in incognito-like, and have a bit of a sneak around. We both see what we can,
unless we get to the pub and find out that all of his henchmen are halflings, in which case we will definitely stick out.
Well, we'll never know until we get there, will we?
Yes. Yeah, straight to the pub.
Okay, maybe you could borrow my hood.
Maybe we'll see on the way.
It's not how hoods work. It's not like a separate item. Yeah. You can just put on another bit of clothing.
Also, hood. Do you think hoods make you invisible?
Well, in D&D, Zach, anything can happen if you dream it.
No, it can't.
Famously, you have to roll the dice. Yes,
Dungeons
famously.
And Dreams.
Listeners can't see it, but he just threw glitter into the air. Yeah.
My endless supply of glitter that I keep.
Pat is constantly with one pocket of glitter on the go.
As the three of you are kind of gathered in the doorway having this conversation, you hear from outside.
I shut the door immediately.
All right. You hear a glitch.
Is that you, Glitch?
Are we outside? Or are we?
You're inside. Oh, okay. Sorry. From outside.
Okay, I think. I mean, we're both thinking the two of you should probably hide.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to go down the murder hole.
There are some hoods in the cellar.
I think we've got to go down the murder hole.
I don't want to go down the murder hole. Also, why?
No,
we...
I might need you. Look, just why stand either get... side yeah. of the fucking door, and I'll.
Yeah, we keep getting into conflict and splitting up the three people we've got, leaving us to deal with it one on one.
As you're discovering this, you hear a heavy footfall outside, and a kind of alongside with it, and then at the door there's a
glitch.
I ready my Warhammer from outside. I'm gonna like Three Stooges style. I'm not this guy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna ready my dagger.
Just coming. One second. Okay, and I open the door,
and you see in front of you a hulking, bold Goliath. They're like kind of half giant people, big guy. And next to him is a enormous wheelbarrow, and in the wheelbarrow are just a bunch of corpses, like all splayed out. Flies buzzing around them, and you this man looks at you and then grins and says,
"Glitch, it's good to see you.
It's good
been
to
a
see
while."
Yes, it has been a while. But let me, you're right on time.
I've got a new shipment of our little friends.
Wonderful.
Who
thank
need
you.
New homes?
Yes, they do very much. Thank you so much for that.
Have you been? Did you see the hullabaloo yesterday?
No, I missed most of it. Could you? What happened there? What happened?
Some wizard.
Ah, it's always some wizard, isn't it? Was around here, some wizard, you know.
Yes, things are changing now. I've got a load of these
to
deal with. Can I leave these with you?
Yes, absolutely. Let me just take that from you, and I go out and take the wheelbarrow and wheel it in.
Yeah, you do not wheel it in. It is stacked full of bods.
Oh, okay.
Give me a strength check if you want to try and put it inside.
Sweet, with my solid minus two. That's a 14.
Okay, you make hard work of it, and this figure just kind of stands, arms folded, and watches as you straight.
I've got it. Don't worry.
This guy's a total dick. Why is he not helping?
Wheel it in into the thing. He says,
"Is he like Graveyard Hodor?"
He says, I thought you might bury them first, but that's up to you.
Ah, no, I've got to prepare them, of course. I've got to, you know, formaldehyde this and corpse. So,
I don't, you remember, I don't ask any questions about what you do to our little visitors here.
Yes.
As long as you get them buried.
Absolutely. Well, I can promise you that they will be buried. They will absolutely be buried.
Everything Paddy's character does is so creepy.
I know.
Okay, Glitch, well... Nice speaking to you, I suppose.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And it's a goodbye from Glitch. And then I point at him, hoping that he'll...
Oh my can God. You two give me a quick stealth roll?
What tremendous
sort
of...
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, you guys are 2 minutes out of that.
As you're hidden behind the door, just give me a quick stealth roll.
Stealth roll, 14. Wait, what's the word I plus onto that? What is stealth?
It's
Dax. Oh,
fuck's sake, 12.
21 for me.
21, okay. This figure goes, "Oh, goodbye from you, Glitch, and...
You, do you have guests?"
Let's just say, I did.
And suddenly this incredibly, like, flat face starts going...
You scare me sometimes, Glitch, but I'm glad you're on old Dampy's graveyard.
Oh, great. We're clearly good friends, Dampy.
And then he winks at you.
And I wink back.
I am from the side doing the wrap it up gesture.
I imagine that Zach was...
On the side to be like... Fucking stop talking to him!
So the two of you, like, with this wheelbarrow of bodies in the middle of the
room.
I like the idea as well.
Stop having small talk with the man!
With a 12, you're still hidden, but I'm imagining, you know, like, your Warhammer is like, you know when a boom mic is in shot?
It's
like just in shot in the back. It's like... Well, good to see you, Dampy.
Goodbye.
Same time next time?
Tomorrow.
Same time tomorrow. Absolutely.
Why can't you talk to people?
And he's, but at this point, he's shuffling away, and you see him go over to another slightly bigger shack on the kind of other side of the big gates to the cemetery, and he slams the door closed.
All right. I close the door.
Hang on, slightly bigger as in him-sized.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
where he. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not just another slightly larger necromancer.
No, it's just a well proportioned. I mean, probably actually. I mean, if you're trying to size it, it's probably slightly too small, but
okay,
a bit bigger. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's definitely the guy in charge of the graveyard, and I'm very much the necromancer that lives here. So we've cleared that up now. Are we going to leave all these bodies just here? Is that what we're going to do?
100%.
Yeah, obviously, we're not going to do your job as part of this game.
Are we just going to leave a bunch of rotting corpses in my house?
Why do you give a fuck? You're not a grave digger anymore.
Do you want to come back here?
Because anyone comes here and finds out what's going on, they're going to come for me, which is also you in this
scenario. Make a lot of leaps of logic in this. Like,
he's going to come back tomorrow.
All right, okay, so... Quickly open up your little broom
cupboard.
We'll
pop him in the corpse hatch.
Throw him
in
the corpse
hatch.
Yeah, I am good with that.
There we go. That's fine.
Right, so, okay. Three of you, and there's a beautiful montage of you opening the thing and literally just dumping it out. Down the steps.
High fives and ABBA plays in the background.
And then as you close it up again, there's just like one arm sticking out the top as the two plates go dunk, dunk, dunk. And then just cut off this hand that sits on the floor.
Right. Totally happy with that.
Toss it to one side, and then right. Well, today's been really shit. Let's get out.
So pub.
Yeah, three crowns.
Absolutely. Let's get us some Tom Collins.
So to the Three Goats you go, which is you go back the way that the post goat led you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you called him post goat.
Post goose.
Goose.
Oh yeah. That would be why I can't believe you called him post-goat.
Maybe he's pre-goats, though. Could change him.
Who knows?
Post-goat is... But I don't... Post-goose is just
thinking,
as bad as
I
post-goat.
I keep thinking of a small tattooed goat with a little scraggly beard and a joint in his hand.
Well, I'll...
Yeah. Making shit electronica.
Really shit music. Sorry, Post Malone, if you're a fan. Sorry, mate.
I'm not sorry. Fuck you, Post Malone.
And you...
I have no idea who this person is.
He's a very trendy rhythm and blues artiste.
That'll
he's
be
like,
why.
He's like
Elvis
Dead
Costello.
Mouse. Yeah, Elvis Costello. That's
he's like
what I was
Dead
gonna
Mouse.
Say.
He's not like Dead Mouse.
You go back along the streets, and as proper night is drawing in from the kind of nice evening before, and the streets are alive with people just going jeering and, you know, playing little gambling games in the corner, people drinking on street corners, you know, horrible dusty bottles of hooch. And you eventually make it round to this enormous pub, which, you know, you guys from your previous experiences in Valdor all remember to be the Three Goats. And fittingly, you remember the sign swinging from outside there with the aforementioned goats, three tieflings, kind of in very stylistic style on the sign.
Cool.
Okay, can I... First of all, here's the bandanas. Use them if you want them.
Yep.
There you go. And I'm going to do an investigation check to see if there's anywhere around that I might be an entry point for someone being a bit sneaky.
Perfect, all right. Roll me that.
Oh, it's a 12.
It's 12. With a 12, you see
a hole you can't fit in.
Even you can't
fit. Even me, yeah. I think I'm trying to find something high up. Like, I want to see if I can get into kind of like the attic or the roof and kind of...
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay,
I want
what
to
is
be
it?
Vatic attic.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a two-story building, and you see, you know, there's quite narrow alleyways to either side of it, and down one you spot a kind of stack of crates, a railing, and a open window at the top of the building.
Well, I think I've found my entry point, lads.
Yeah.
I'll see you on the inside.
It's quite high up.
I know, but I'll be able to... I think at this point, Taran might be overestimating the capabilities of a gnome, but...
Scramble. Yeah, scramble at the wall.
I'll have a scramble.
All right, you're going to be the scrambler, and Teddy, I guess that leaves... Teddy, I just called you Teddy. That's interesting, isn't it? You don't like that, do you?
Nope, that's my name, I guess. Yeah,
I guess
so.
I guess we've got to start doing that
Start
now.
Doing that. What is your name? I can't remember.
Glitch.
Yeah, all right, cool.
Yes, lovely. So what's our plan? I say we don't put the bandanas on first, because we could go in and for all we know, those could be something you don't wear.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm not going to just put the bandana and walk into the pub, because it's a pub. I'm assuming, even it might be the, like, stronghold of an evil, I don't know, godfather figure, still going to be a pub.
Well, let's just go into the pub then. Okay. We could be on a date.
Why?
I don't know. Cool story though, right? If anyone asks,
we'll catch up with. Also, like the
and I'm opening the door to the pub.
The weird waxy necromancer and the young boy hero on a romantic evening for two in a dodgy pub.
The old man's in the corner going, "I thought I was in there."
Young boy.
Is this just our local, by the way? DM.
Yeah, cool. It's just up the road.
I walk in.
A lot of people there might recognise us.
I look at the barman and I just go, "The usual." And I go,
we will catch up with you two in a second, but we better see how old Vatic's going to do. So give me an acrobatics check to see if you can... or athletics.
Acrobatics.
I'm also athletics.
Acrobatics.
While this is going on as well, you and I are just frozen in time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's under the dex tree, right?
If it's acrobatics, yeah.
Yeah.
Athletics is
strength. Okay. In which case... that will be a 16 plus 3.
These rolls, man.
Yeah, that's too 19. Good.
Well, I think even with Taryn's trademark arrogance, you bind up the crates and the you shimmy off the walls and you perfectly kind of dive into the window at the top.
We've not seen this. I want to be impressed for him.
And you. As you come out, you're in a little guest room with the door open, leading out to a corridor beyond.
Okay. Can I? I suppose I don't want to go any higher. I'm gonna sneak out into the hallway.
Give me a stealth roll, which we'll use to kind of represent how. Oh my god!
That is a 24.
Shit, boy.
That is a ridiculous roll.
That's too good. I'm gonna have to start penalizing you guys more. Okay, you slip out of the room undetected and you're on a kind of the best way to describe it, and we're about to see what you two see as well, you're on a large balcony, kind of first floor balcony that goes around the kind of the circumference of this of the inn with a staircase leading down, and you kind of find a little shadowy spot and you can just see everything below. And as you two enter in, you see a sight that you guys have seen before in your former lives. You've been in this pub before to do some shakedowns and, you know, find information, and it is everything you'd imagine a shitty pub in a shitty town would be. It is dirty, it's filthy, it is full of people, there is a hubbub of noise, there are two
an England flag behind the bar.
Yeah.
It's got a flat roof.
Yeah. a shit fruity machine that's kind of like half going.
Yeah. Four for a tenner on Jaeger bombs. Yeah.
And you see behind the bar two familiar faces to you. Well, faces which are now familiar to you, not people you would have taken in before, but you see two halflings behind the bar. One is a battered old bloke who's missing several fingers from one hand, and the other is a young girl who is sat on the bar but is also taking drinks orders and taking money and handing out pints as the halfling behind her does the same thing. You find that you remember them from...
being barman?
No, they were the two in the crowd.
Yeah, I remember.
Father and daughter.
Yeah.
And you she kept pointing at Cassius and she was excited about him.
Yeah.
Wait.
And he told her that you got all your power from never having spoken to a woman.
Oh yes, that is what the old man told the half brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And elsewhere there are also behind the bar is a Kenku. Is this something known to you guys? No, Kenku.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
Like,
does it? It's a coffee
the,
maker.
Like coffee, yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's best described as a bird, a kind of bird person, black feathers, long beak, you know, birdy eyes, swift head movements, moving around, but also pouring pints and handing them out behind the bar.
Ooh.
Elsewhere, there are all sorts of people just kind of milling around and hanging out, and it's because it's an evening in Veld and people are on the piss.
Yeah.
So as we enter, can we assume that no one like looks around? It's not one of those everyone
saloon
doors. Yeah, exactly. We've just slipped in, just sort of
getting a drink.
No, you two pop in. A couple of people recognise you, Teddy, certainly. And there are a couple of people who genuinely raise a glass to you, and there are a lot more people who go, "Oh, there he comes! Here he comes, old hero boy! There's Teddy! Oh, Teddy! Yay!"
I really want to fight all of them.
Dies down after a second. People give you a sideways glance glitch, but no one seems to twig who you are at all.
As we approach the bar, just want to. Just to remind you, Teddy, we discovered that you don't drink.
I decide whether I drink or not, so Have a beer.
Is Teddy getting on it now?
This is, well, this, I mean, he's not getting on it.
Really.
Teddy.
Teddy's
getting on it.
I'm just, yeah. I'm just not.
Audio gold.
What the fuck? I order a beer. Yeah, just get a beer.
Go to the bar, fantastic. What you're doing in particular, Liam, as well?
I think I'm just gonna be like listening out, maybe seeing if I can, like, kind of looking out for anyone I think looks a bit dodgy in the bar.
Okay.
Got, I don't know if that's an investigation.
Yeah, that'll be, or probably more like a perception, because you're trying to see something. I mean, just trying to see what your senses are picking up.
Yeah, I was just going to try and do that. Actually.
So, that is 11 plus 4, that's a 15.
No, with a 15, you don't see anything particularly out of the ordinary. There's nothing that would pass for out of the ordinary in a bar full of scurrilous behaviour.
Yeah.
You do see, however, in one corner, sharing a kind of joke with a couple of other people, you see the half-elf you also met on your first day in your new bodies, Hess, if you remember her.
Oh, yeah.
She was very rude to young Paddy.
Yeah, didn't like me.
Yeah, you see her and with a bunch of other very tough-looking people in one corner. Otherwise, nothing out of the ordinary, nothing.
Okay. No, I know that I've just done this check, but, like, I'm no one with bandanas.
Crucially not.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. I will tell you if you see. Yeah.
Can I have a look around? Can we see Vatic? Can we spy him?
Or is he completely hidden? You've got to give me a very good perception roll.
Okay, I'm just going to have a look around to see if he, because we don't even know if you've gotten him safe.
Have a little bit. You're looking for him, yeah.
Yeah, no. That's going to be a 5.
You've got to beat Liam's 24.
Okay, that is a 5.
Nope. There, you cannot see any sign of Vatic.
I think Vatic's dead.
I was going to say, I think you're probably slightly panicked by that initially.
I mean, I was going to roll, but I actually, looking at my numbers, cannot get 24. So
you physically can't roll it. But you two are approaching the bar.
Yeah,
just having a bar, I wish I'd look about. I do need a bit of a help from the DM in the sense that Hess, I remember her, and she was a bit tough, she was in the street. Like, was she was friendly to Teddy though, wasn't she?
Yeah, largely. Okay, well you two approach the bar and who are you talking to at the bar?
I want to talk to the bird.
Let's go over to the birds. Also, you're the man with the money, so you're ordering the drinks.
My drink.
And my drink.
Okay.
And you, I also have got charisma.
You approach this bird at the bar, and he is kind of flicking his head around. He just finishes serving a pint. Someone passes him a couple of coins, and he goes and takes them and puts them in his pocket.
Proper bird.
And he comes up to you to do that. And then he sees you two approach the bar, and he just goes. He stares you in the eyes. He stares you in the eyes there, and he goes. Exactly the same. Back.
Okay, then I go, but this time I hold up two fingers.
And he kind of quizzically puts his head around and then looks at you, Glitch.
Just two of the normal, please.
And he says back at you,
just two of the normal.
In a perfect Glitch voice. And then goes and pulls two.
Oh, he's a parrot bird.
Oh, he's a mimic bird. Parrot bird would have made more sense.
Parrot mimic bird. And he comes back and gives you two beers, Teddy.
All right, cool. Yeah.
And gives them to you, and then he says, and he gives you one, and goes normal, and gives you a beer.
I got three beers. I give him the appropriate amount of copper.
The appropriate number of copper pieces are indicated, as you see, as he tilts his head, and on the bar there is a little note, kind of taped to the, not taped, fantasy tapes to the side, with a copper-coloured piece equals one stein.
Cool.
And he kind of nods his head to that.
All right. Well, that interaction's done. No. I don't know how to interact with a parrot, so halflings, I guess.
You can try talking to him, if you want. I mean.
All right. My good man, looking for, how do I phrase, Nigel.
The bird looks at you for a second and goes, looking for you, Nigel.
Okay, cool. Well,
Nigel?
Done with this now.
Nigel.
I'm certainly not done with this yet. What's your name, bird?
Oh, no!
Name, bird.
His name is Bird. How amazing is that?
Laurie, you've given Paddy the worst toy to play
amazing,
with.
Amazing, he says. Amazing, amazing. Oh my God, can we keep him? God, I want him to be in our party.
Party?
You're going to a party?
Party!
He wants to take us to a party. I think we should go with this bird.
As this conversation is going on, and you see Paddy. The bird looks a little bit like ruffled, to use a word. Walking along the bar, not very high above it, comes the little halfling girl. It says, "Are you talking to hear ye?" He won't talk back. He can't. He can't say his own words.
Ah, no. We were just discovering that. Absolutely.
Just very quickly. Very clever name, Lawrence. That is a great little name. I love that.
Oh, amazing.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
Back in the room.
And this little girl, kind of hands on hips, says, "Now, what do you? Are you got your beer? Are you ready? You done?" Leave him alone. He's only a poor little guy.
Yeah, we were just looking for Nigel. Have you seen Nigel?
Nigel?
One of the other small people.
Oh, she kind of like, she steps back and goes, I'll be a bit careful about that, mate. Well, Dad will have you out, okay? Just saying. He goes, "I don't know Nigel, no. We used to have a fella used to drink around here called Nigel. I haven't seen him for a while, though."
Okay.
What about Derek?
Derek.
That's the other name. Nice one.
Derek.
Another case solved.
Yeah, Derek.
I was literally like done with my clues. I was in my head like, cool, that's everything I remember from last time we did this.
She says, it's funny you mentioned Derek, actually, because he's meant to be here every night and I haven't seen him. He's not come in tonight. It's very weird. We're getting a bit worried.
That's what I thought. I was meant to be meeting him here tonight, too. He appears to be late.
Give me a... That's definitely
a lie.
Definitely
why are you lying to us?
Just because I'm just doing shit, man.
Do it. I'm just saying, you've got to deceive me.
Yeah, with a nine.
With nine, she goes...
I just fart. As well, you know. Wow. My liar's tell.
God.
Your smelly tell.
She... And then she goes... that's funny, I don't think... You're not really Derek's type, you're not... Well, I mean, not being blunt about it, sir, but you're a bit creepy.
No, absolutely, it's business. I've never met the man myself.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a shame. I mean, if he should be here any time. He's here for his drinks every night, and then, you know, he's got friends here, and I just don't know what's happening.
Anyone who might know where he is?
Try Dad. And she nods over to the other halfling behind the bar. You might know. Dad!
Dad!
Daddy!
Are you calling Dad as well?
Yeah.
And the bird's also calling Dad.
Yeah, Daddy! Yeah, you hear from over the corner. Dad! In exactly
what's,
your tone of
what's
voice.
Your hidden upstairs, just knowing that we've already fucked up?
Daddy!
And, this battered old halfling comes over and he's like craggy and bold and like I say, he's missing these fingers from one hand which are prominent and he kind of flexes them all the time. And he comes over and goes, "Hey, what's this, Ange? What's going on, mate?" Hello, boys, what's going on?
We're looking for a Derek.
Oh, it's you, it's Teddy. All right, mate. Hello, how's business?
It's pretty good. I've had lots of cases, lots of things solved. Not at all a joke around here anymore. Very, very crucially, not shit.
Ah, you're still a bit shit, though, he goes. Still a little bit shit, aren't you?
Yes, you see, and I'm his agent. And I mean, you got any work for him? Got any...
You're terrifying, mate.
Got any new leads?
New leads.
Derek had a lead. Just really, I'm going to get that back to
him. Why have you immediately abandoned asking about...
I'm his agent. We're ready. We're going to try and find Derek, because, you know, he needs to meet Teddy.
For a point of playing the game, you jump from one... poorly thought out lie to another poorly thought out lie.
Someone's got to do it, mate. Someone's got to be wild card.
Just like straight up having a conversation. I'm the agent. It's now this. What? Why?
This halfling kind of strokes his little chin beard and stroking and he goes, "Oh, I don't know. Oh, I tell you what, mate. There is something weird in the beer garden. I can't think any other way to put it. There is something weird going around. You, my friend, you're the perfect kind of... the perfect expert help we need." So would you mind checking it out for me?
Absolutely. And I will not in any
gold.
Way...
Yeah, what's a couple of silver in it for you, boys?
Well, I think you might have said gold.
I won't kick old deaf boy out. Yeah, I know you.
He knows me, apparently.
And
everyone aware
and
that he
the
knows me.
Gold, though, yeah, the gold. Like you said, gold, and then you changed it to silver, and I would rather gold.
Give him a persuasion check.
Fourteen.
guys.
Wait.
All right.
Yeah, 14.
We'll make it one gold. That's all I got.
Done.
It's a pretty good deal. It's a pretty good deal.
All right.
Thank you, Death
Agent. And he points to a kind of a door, a very much closed door that leads out the other side from where you entered.
All right, cool. And I go through it.
Okay, you guys heading over there. What do you?
We'll let Liam do his thing.
So I think I've realised that there's nothing in the bar.
That you've just snuck into a shadow and stayed there.
Yeah. So I'm gonna search the other rooms upstairs.
Okay. I'll give you if you want to do like a general investigation check, I can give you see what the kind of lay of the land is up here.
Oh, it's not good. That's an 8.
Okay, with an 8, you peek your head around a couple of these doors. Some of them are locked. These are obviously the kind of guest rooms. They're beds, and they're pretty, pretty ropey. Mm-hmm. You try to push on one door, and you hear a kind of ruffle of activity inside. Here, get lost, mate. Get lost. Get out of here. And you choose to leave that door alone, maybe.
Yes, I do.
And you see these two go across to a door on the other side, and from what you can make out, there is only one other kind of big door, big entrance in this place, and it's directly behind the bar. The bar is this huge, I told you, it's a big square room. The bar is another big square construction, and there's a lot of barrels and stuff behind, and behind all of those you can see there's another door, presumably leading elsewhere.
Okay.
Where the staff would hang out.
Right.
But you do catch these two heading over to the door.
So that's the only entrance.
Yeah, those are all you can see at the moment.
Okay, can I try and open the locked room?
The locked room?
Yeah.
Ooh, love it. Okay. Play with fire.
What a roguish maneuver.
Ooh.
Well, you got to the door, you have a good look around. I think, you know, they're probably not expecting you to have another go at it, so give me a thieves tool check to see if you get your little lockpick out. And
ooh, I don't know what that...
That is just a straight, I'm pretty sure.
Are you going into the room with all the dudes in it?
No, not with the dudes.
Oh, as you said, there are a couple of locked doors.
Yeah, a couple of locked doors. Okay, so that is...
Give me that roll.
That is a 14 plus 5, 19.
It's too good. Too good. You're going to have to... I'm taking you down a peg soon.
Power game. Yeah.
You, with consummate ease, you go to over to this door and you wiggle your little gnomish fingers and you...
Wait, I've got lock picks. I'm not just...
No, they're on the ends of your fingers. They're little thimble-based ones. No, I just think you waggle. Your little hands are a blur of activity, and the door clicks and swings open in front of you, and you're looking at a dark guest room.
Okay, what do I see?
Nailed it.
You forgot you can see in the dark. Good detail. you see an empty, no people in here. It's just a dark room. Someone's locked it for something. You have a little look around, and the only thing you see is a sealed letter on the on the desk. All right, Paddy. Now you've done
that was a good
tell
joke.
Me what is a sealed letter that would make that noise?
Yeah, like it was so dumb, but it was great.
I can tell you from a note from a letter.
No, again. No,
it's sealed.
Right, admittedly,
sealed.
Admittedly, that contains the word seal, right? But how is that a sealed note? Like, if you'd like use seal to kiss it, that would be a sealed note, wouldn't it? You can't just sing.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
If we use seal to seal it, it would be like... just someone stuffing...
A sealed note is... No, it's that first.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry, mate.
It's a high E.
It's a high
seals
E.
Seals note.
And then also, I mean, but then how does it become... Let's not get too into it, but I like the idea that they then give it to a seal to deliver.
Yes.
Yeah, that would work.
It's got a little satchel and a hat.
That's where the...
I'm kind of sure now there are no seals in this world.
Great. Okay.
Seals died
there
out.
There are no seals.
Seals died out centuries ago. In an act of global catastrophe. Sorry.
Clubbing. In the great clubbing.
Great clubbing.
Why is there always some grim thing from our world we have to bring up in every episode?
I don't know.
We keep
where
doing
our
it.
Heads
all right, I'm going to go to open the
okay, you look at the letter.
Can I try and do it in a way that isn't going to disturb the letter? Like, I might be able to reseal it.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, it's sealed. No, probably not.
No, you can't. He just opened
no, because it's a wax seal. You can. I tell you what, it'll be really hard. You can give it a go. Sleight of hand check.
You can just steal it.
Okay, so that's a 7, but plus 7.
How is your sleight of hand plus 7? How? Seven. You're a level 1.
So you
no,
you are
not
you,
even
you're
a
trying
rogue.
To do this like. this practiced rogue maneuver, and you, as you're kind of slipping, you've got this little spatula thing. You're trying to get under the wax seal. You just click it in half, and as you click it in half, you look at it and you see a symbol, which is on this piece of paper here.
Okay, this is like a triangle with like a upside down four in it as well.
And somehow, you don't know how you know, but that symbol immediately screams to you the word friend.
Interesting.
That is a symbol you know means the word friend.
Okay. Ooh. Okay, so that could be something roguey, or it could be something gnomey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what kind of languages you play with?
Maybe he knows like cant or something like
thieves.
Thieves cant. It will be thieves cant. Good one.
I ain't saying nothing, boys. I ain't saying nothing.
Okay.
The kind of weirdest thing: this letter appears to be a kind of letter written between two chums. It's addressed to a Bardolph. It says, "Dear Bardolph," and it goes on at length talking about the addressee's family, asking how they are. There are a couple of words that stick out to you, and something kind of snags in your brain as you come across some of these words. One of them is the phrase "dress up." For some reason, sticks out of you. Another is the word "sideways." And it kind of just appears to be telling a story about a lovely kind of family holiday or a family outing where people got up to scrapes. Mm-hmm. And it is signed just with an X. No signature on it.
Okay.
But something about it is making you uneasy. Right. As you're looking at this letter, give me a perception roll quickly.
That's an 11.
Yeah, get back down to our level.
As you just finish reading, you hear the sound of footsteps outside the door, and then you hear a, "Hey, what are you doing?" From the front door. From the door of the room you're in.
Okay.
Run away. It's a
they're coming.
Room service!
Okay, give me a performance check then with that.
That voice was so convincing and dramatic. How could he possibly need a check?
I'm guessing that's... Yep, so... Oh! Okay. So, that will be a 13 minus 1. 12.
You hear this voice again. So I asked you, what are you doing in here? There's no... I don't think we get room service in this place. What are you doing in my room? Who are you?
I'm a triangle with a squiggle 4 upside down. Wink.
I mean, like, fucking balance.
Yeah, I know enough about D&D to know that was That's dumb. Awesome. That was like...
She says, "What? Turn around. Let me. Are you looking at her at this point? Or are you? I'm sorry. My image is you're facing away from the door, looking at this letter, and you're kind of like paralysed.
Yeah,
with it in your
hands. I turn around.
And you with the letter in hand.
I'm gonna try and pocket
that. Slight hand that. Slight hand it. I know. Christ, I'm making dude, it. You said you wanted to do some rolling, Liam. You're doing some rolling.
Oh,
mate, what the fuck?
That's a 26.
26. So with the most consummate ease, you slip it in and you turn to face it, and you see the form of a familiar androgynous half elf stood before you with a cool choppy haircut. It's Hess from previously.
She might fuck you up.
She looks a bit mad and says, "Oh, you're one of Teddy's mates. What are you doing in my room? I thought I locked the door."
Oh, yeah. So I'm trying to find I'm going to come clean. This doesn't seem like a good idea, but here we go. I'm trying to find the Duke.
And she steps back for a second and goes, "Nah, you don't want to find the Duke. He comes for you. What are you?" And she kind of leaves this pause, like, what do you want him for?
If I don't deal with the Duke tonight, I'm in trouble. I've made some enemies. Mainly the Duke, to be fair.
One crucial enemy.
She says, because the way you put it to start with made it sound like you were going to do something to him. She says, the Duke is not in the habit of being found when he doesn't want to be. So if you're really on a level, and she really squints at you, then just sit tight, mate, and he'll find you. Otherwise, I repeat, what the fuck are you doing in here?
So I'm going to try and, like, draw in the air, like, the little symbol that I've found.
No, well, I think you don't. There's no check you need for that. You do it in the air in front of her, and her eyes kind of... And she looks really puzzled, and she goes, "Well, that kind of works. Listen, where are you going tonight? Are you staying here?
No. I've got...
just a minute, like I love watching the gears just turn your brain.
I've got a place close by.
Yeah, all right. Does the Duke know where it is?
No.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
No, never.
Well, I was thinking of Teddy's place, but yeah, he knows where it is.
All right then. Well, maybe I'll have a word if I can. She looks very shifty for a second. It says, maybe you, in the meantime, will get the fuck out of my room.
Fine.
Okay. So she literally steps to the side to let you walk out.
Okay. I'm going to cautiously walk out, keeping an eye on her.
Great. And she's just, and as you walk out, she does the little point at her eyes, point at you. She says, if you're in here doing weird stuff, weird gnome stuff, I will be back on you, right?
Aye, don't worry. I'm on the level. I'm above board.
And she pulls the door behind her and locks it. She says, go on, fuck off then.
Thank you. I whisper into the door. Okay, I'm going to go down.
How did you get away?
This is ridiculous.
I'm going to walk downstairs.
Okay. Meanwhile, you two
make him
outside.
Roll for it if he falls down.
Hello, my darlings. Welcome back to Idle Fantasy. Welcome particularly back to Laurie's weird middle bit of Idle Fantasy. Thanks for joining me. I like that we have this kind of secret little session to chat to each other. I feel like it would be irresponsible of me to air any grievances here, but, you know, who knows? Maybe one day it'll just be me sitting here talking about how, you know, actually what you don't know is that in the recordings, Paddy's feet are fucking abysmal and I can't get away from them. It requires a series of concerted wafts from Zach and Liam to make our lives bearable in that room. But it's not true and you won't get that information from me here yet. You may have noticed I'm being slightly rambly. I'm recording this bit very late after a recording session we've just done, not the episode you've just heard or in the middle of hearing, one that is slightly later in the timeline, and I am super buzzing for you guys to hear it. Stuff has moved on a bit, and yeah, it's really exciting, and thank you in general so much for listening. It's been so nice to hear from those of you who have enjoyed it. Please do let us know wherever you can. We're on Twitter at Idle Fantasy Pod, Gmail idlefantasypodcast@gmail.com, or you can even see some of our selfies, I think, at Instagram. We are Idle Fantasy Pod at Instagram. And particularly to go back to Twitter, thank you so much to those of you who submitted some NPCs for us to use. It's awfully generous of you. I put out a tweet just testing the water to see if anyone had any good names or any good kind of attributes they'd like to include, and we had some lovely results. Look out for those being included in a future episode. I'm talking about people like Ethan Lawrence. I'm talking about people like MythMage13, and I'm talking about people like Kitschy Cosplay, all on Twitter. Thank you so much for your suggestions. Yes, like I say, keep an ear out for those very shortly. I can't necessarily promise I'm going to use everything people send me in, but I'm going to try and jam as many into the adventure I can. So if you think of any good ones, do tweet us at @IdleFantasyPod with your suggestions. Names in particular are a godsend. The next episode that's going to be coming out is going to be the final part of the Last Wish arc. Ooh-hoo, I know, it's a whole story arc finish. Hopefully we'll bring it to some kind of conclusion. Who knows? That will be available to listen to next Fantasy Freaky Friday, otherwise known as the 22nd of February in the year of our Lord 2019. Between now and then, of course, we're going to have the Valentine's Day celebrations. I hope the Valentine's goblins are kind to you when they dispense the shriveled heart harvest this year, which is as is tradition in Veld. But until then, may your exhaustion levels remain low and your carry capacity unencumbered. Goodbye. Meanwhile, you two have headed outside.
Just gone for a national outside pint.
Just gone for an outside pint. And you head outside into what can charitably be described as a beer garden. And you see in front of you, there is this enormous, beautiful tree that is kind of slightly illuminated by the light coming from outside. And otherwise, it's completely empty. But there is a eerie silence out here I mean, you can hear the noise from inside, but this little garden is very still and kind of...
All right. Do an arcana check. Oh, is there something magic going on?
You are very welcome to see. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Do some arcana ring. Whoop!
Hell yeah, 23.
A 23. No...
Is it a magic tree?
No.
Oh.
You can't pick up on any kind of... There's no magic, no kind of person-made magic here.
Okay.
At all.
Just thoughts of the no silence spells. Might be kind of man...
Yeah, is there a significant absence of magic? Like, as in, is there like one of those like no magic fields kind of thing?
No, and like it's probably a good time to point out, like an Arcana check would pick up stuff like that. Anything that's like a ward or a spell that's been cast,
all right, cool.
That's what Arcana tries to do. Or you can also look at stuff and be like, is this magical in nature? Or and there's nothing you can detect right. as magic.
Why don't you do a nature check, Zach?
Because all right, I'm going to, but I just want to be really clear. Like, I can't do anything that isn't lie. Beat things over the head with a hammer because I have a disadvantage on anything.
What do you want to find out? What are you trying to look at?
Just going to look around and see if anything weird. He said there was something weird, right? Specific. Was he talking about the tree? I'm assuming. So I'm just going to go and check out the tree.
Okay. You walk up to the tree. You can.
But look at it before I touch it, though. Don't. I know. Okay. Games.
Give me. It depends what you want to look for. You can if you want to work out what kind of tree it is or what.
Yeah.
If there's anything about the tree, that would be survival then. That's a kind of like nature.
Anything that seems there, like it be.
There's a nature.
There is a nature roll.
There's a nature roll.
Yeah.
Just anything that seems like it would be worth a gold in the interest of.
I see, yeah. So look at the tree. Then,
nature. What is nature?
Intelligence.
Not a clever boy.
Don't worry, mate.
Look at that.
Four.
It's a pretty nice tree, man.
Yeah,
pretty nice tree.
I want to do something that's give me, like, in anywhere near my wheelhouse.
While you're walking up to give me.
Okay, I hit the tree with my hammer.
He's
annoyed that he doesn't know what's going on, and so he kicks it really hard. Look, I've let you guys stumble through conversations. Right? I'm fucking annoyed with this now.
Come into a beer garden and punch a tree.
Well, because there's just nothing else. He can't do anything.
We haven't looked around the beer garden.
Fuck it, don't care. You did a perception check. You did an arcana check.
It's beer garden. You kick the tree and you stub your toe, but nothing else happens. It's a tree. It stands still. But there's a small rustling from up in the branches.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
And two eyes appear in the branches of the tree, and you hear, meow. It's a cat.
It's not a cat. It's definitely not a cat.
Is it like one of those Cheshire cats kind of thing?
No, it's just they got one teddy to get a cat out of a tree, man.
Anyway, all right.
This is your wheelhouse.
I like wail on this tree.
As you go into wail at the tree, you hear the door behind you open, and you see Cuthred, who's the young halfling man, and you see his daughter, and you see a load of other patrons point out and go, ah, get it, go on then, get that cat out of the tree, mate, go ahead. It was like,
okay, I'm this is going to be a character thing. This is a Draka thing now. The inside of him is raging.
So you're busting
fucking
up this tree.
Bad. No, as in, like, he wants to fucking kill them.
Cut down the fucking tree, man.
I haven't got an axe. Like, as in, just as in, like, if his whole character thing for the last four episodes is going to be that nothing, he can't do anything but have the piss taken out of him, at some point he's going to have to kill something. So yeah, like, I don't know how they want to play this out, but I'm thinking whoever's closest, he might rush them.
I think you previously described, like, you're like hammering on the tree as this cat, you know, mugs you off as well, and I think there's probably
the cat involved. Oh, cat's
no, the cat's
it.
Just meowing at you from the tree.
Oh, so you won't kill a dog, but you're going to have a cat.
Yeah, as you're, I'm definitely a dog person.
As you're rattling on the tree, can the two of you both give me a perception check to see if you notice something happening?
I can't.
No,
seven.
I got a five.
Okay, no chance to react to this.
At least narratively that makes sense. Like, he's doing something else.
Yeah,
rather than
totally.
I just cannot roll.
And I think as the kind of laughter starts, and, you know, I'm sure Glitch, you're feeling uneasy, and probably just about this point you've seen the commotion as well, Vatic, and you're coming up to the door, maybe going through legs to come up to see. You all three of you see this happen at the same time. Above your head, immediately above your head, Teddy, this long wooden hand kind of comes out of the tree, and you see the tree kind of shimmers about where this hand comes out, and it's going to try and hit you with that's a 13.
No.
Against your AC.
Does not hit me.
And this hand swipes at you, and what do you do? What do you do in reaction to that?
I reckon I just try and grab it, I guess.
And as you kind of set yourself to deal this thing above from out from within the tree, this head comes out as well, and it's this weird wooden living head, which all seems to be made out of bark, and it's pulled back in this big smile, and it's kind of leaning out of the tree, all shimmering behind it, and you hear this weird sound come out of its mouth that sounds a bit like branches cracking. It's definitely trying to say something, and this creature is coming out of the tree, and the crowd behind you have gone almost completely silent. They're all a bit freaked out by this.
Okay.
So Teddy, what are you gonna do?
Well, I haven't got my shield out, so I'm thinking one hand try and grab the thing that tried to grab me, uh-huh. push me, and other hand
reach for your club. Certainly, your
pull the warhammer out and just.
Yeah, I think it's probably just manifests as an attack. So you get a quick attack on this creature.
That's not that great. 10. And then what's my attacking thing that I use? Just the +5 from the warhammer, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 15.
15. With a 15, you clap this thing straight in the head. But it like I said, it's got this barky skin and it just kind of bong, pings off. And this thing reaches out of the tree more. So we're going to... And you guys need to roll some initiative,
oh,
I think.
God.
Wait, did I not do... I mean, I hit it, right? You said...
No, you... Well, you
I didn't hit it with my armor class.
So that's a 17 from me.
It's a 20.
That's a 14.
So, as this breaks out, you hear Cuthbert go, "Fuck it out!" And he says, "Get back inside, everyone! Let him deal with it! Let him deal with it!" And he kind of is pushing people back inside as they're, and there are a couple of quite concerned. And a couple of people are still trying to look and watch.
Let's just make a little mental
note. My client will handle this. Everyone get in.
Make a little real mental note. I just want one of you guys to remind me in case I forget. When this is done, I'm going to get that fucking halfling and I'm going to rub his face in the tree.
I'm going to save that cat. I want the cat.
Yeah, fine, whatever. But I'm taking.
You're a Shane Black.
I'm taking all the gold that guy has, and I'm kicking his head into a tree.
Sweet. Okay. Well, you guys are in combat. We're gonna do a little fight.
Savage.
Pads, you're up first. What are you gonna do?
Burn it down.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm gonna. I mean.
Oh
I'm...
no. Yeah, oh, I just remembered that.
Hell yes.
Hell yeah, boys.
Oh, there's the fucking.
I'm opening my book of spells.
Roulette spell.
Cool spell book. Here
so
we
are we going
come.
For a new one or an old one?
Well, yeah. I mean, I could cast sleep or I could call my familiar, but neither of those I think are gonna be useful in this scenario. So I guess I'm picking one at random, mate.
So,
okay.
Just so the listeners are aware before you get into this, I've just seen Paddy's spell sheet for the first time, and he's written cool friend.
Cool friend.
Familiar spell.
Yeah, exactly. My post goose charm.
Technically not wrong.
Sweet, so do you want to roll a
d4? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, d4. Cool. Yeah, let's do that.
A 2.
So you flick to the spell on page 2.
Page 2 of my 6-page
spell book.
And you read these symbols and stuff. And this one you can kind of tell. Now, you're getting a bit better at this.
Sweet.
And this feels like it's got something of conjuration about it. You are summoning something from somewhere.
Oh, cool.
And as you... where are you aiming? Oh, right at the dryad?
Yeah, I think that's what he'd do. It'd be like really like last time, holding the book aloft, pointing, and all the wizard shit. Hood up with the stars and moons on it, I assume.
Stars and moons.
What?
I don't know. Like, you know, classic wizard gear.
No.
Oh, okay.
I think you've got cat ears.
Yeah. Speaking it out loud, thrusting your hand forward, all of that kind of, you know, everything he's seen Saruman do in the films.
Oh, those films he watched as a young
half-elf.
Fancy
half-elf.
Lord of the Rings. Or is that known in D&D? Yes. Documentary.
Your fancy Lord of the Rings is just like super dull.
It's just documentary filmmaking.
That walking story.
Yes. You point and gesture at the dryad, probably wiggling some fingers at the same time. And nothing happens for a second, but slowly a swirl of fog appears and completely encapsulates the dryad and the tree. And... Teddy, and you summon this sphere of fog, and you
I'm
cast
so
a spell.
So done playing with you, idiots.
Fog cloud.
Fog cloud, awesome.
So all you've done, Jen, I'm just going to get this right for the listeners, so we all know.
Yep.
You have been in combat with this character twice,
yep.
and each time, all you've done, all you've contributed, is to remove my vision.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, actually, in fact, you are blinded.
Big up,
Teddy.
Big up.
Fuck's sake.
Here comes Pads with his cool dice.
I'm the only tank, so if I can't hit it, you...
Ah, but neither can it.
Oh yeah, the dryad's blinded as
well.
Yeah.
No, that's sweet.
Next, is that what you're going to do?
And the cat's
my
blind.
Young man.
Well, I think that's all I can
I
do.
I think you've done quite enough.
Yeah.
I'm super pleased about it, though.
Great. Okay, on to old Liam of Welton. What would you
okay.
like to say?
I think I'm going to go for... I assume I don't want to get too close, so I'm going to go for a ranged attack with my short bow.
Okay, fantastic. Ooh, you are going to be... You can't see what's in here, so it's going to be a disadvantage.
Disadvantage, fine. Okay, so that was a 17 and an 8. So the 8 plus 5, 13.
13, I'm afraid, does not hit. This creature is too protected or wow. too densely hidden in the fog. Next up is going to be its turn. You hear this, Teddy, because you know this creature is somewhere right in front of you, and this horrible like noise echoes in your ears, and it casts some kind of spell. Nothing. There's no spout of flame. There's no pain. You know. There's nothing targeted at you. But something has happened. This creature has done something, and it would be your turn next. But the next thing that happens is there is a from up in the tree.
Kenku.
No, it's going to be a cat. And Paddy,
oh.
Give me a dex saving throw. I think that's how this is going to work.
Yep, no problem, boyo.
Whip.
That's a 12.
It's a 12. You, okay, well, I think with the 12, it's a kind of partially successful.
Great.
You don't know what happens, but suddenly there is a rake of pain down the side. You hear a, and a cat has jumped out of the tree and is on your face and has taken a big, well, tries to take a big chunk out of the side as it goes down.
If I get killed by a cat, guys, tell everyone that it was way cooler than that.
What's your AC?
12.
Well, that's a 2.
Oh,
so the
great.
Cat very ineffectively tries to clamp onto you, but it is now kind of all over your shoulders and going mad. So if you want to cast another spell, you're going to be at disadvantage until you get this cat off you.
Sweet, okay.
This
is going great, guys.
Next up is Zach.
Well, I'm going to shield out.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be one-handed. And I'm going to just smack it.
Okay, disadvantage, I'm afraid, because you are...
Because I'm blinded.
Yeah.
That's not great. That's a 1, which I think just means...
That's straight off, up, yeah. That's going to be what you get, I'm afraid.
Critical miss.
I'm going to throw this dice away, dude. Like,
You air hit, but as you do, you kind of you send a bit of the fog.
I'm gonna use this one for now.
Like furling away, and it's starting to get slightly easier to see here. You now see the tree right in front of you, so you know not to try and hit that now. And you also see that the creature is not part of the tree anymore.
Oh, this is like a separate thing. Okay.
Ah.
Okay.
Come out of it.
On to Pats, your turn.
Well, boys.
Stop grinning at me. You're the only person that's had an impact in this fight, and it's been negative all the way.
Shall I try again?
No!
You do you, buddy. You do you.
I mean, there's not much else I can do other than try again. Right, well, I guess I'm going to cast another spell.
I don't know if you've got any... this is news to you, maybe, being not a spellcaster, but you have spell slots. And I think as you go through your book, trying to fight the cat off all the time, and you start reading...
Oh, I forgot about the fucking cat!
And it just doesn't... Nothing quite works as you're trying to do it. And you're out of juice. You're out of arcana. You can't cast a first-level spell...
Oh, Christ.
...anymore until
is there, like,
sleep.
A My First Spells page of the spell book?
Yeah,
like
okay.
A,
yeah,
like
yeah, that pretty much
early learning centre, like, bit of the back.
In the front, you see, very simple instructions for little tricks, but one of them is labeled, was it Ice Ray, have you got? These are on your sheet. I'm sorry, this is to break the fourth wall, guys. This is a...
Chill Touch.
Chill Touch and Acid Splash you have?
Acid Splash and Prestidigitate.
Which won't do anything.
No.
But you can use one of those two to try and do some... Those are like your basic wizard stuff, which you don't need anything to cast. So
all right, sweet. Well, Chill Touch sounds fun. I'm gonna Chill Touch up this tree. Not the tree. The thing that came out of the tree.
Please not touch up.
Yeah, not going to touch up the tree. Hey, guys, let's do this all again. Right, I'm going to chill touch the beastie.
Okay.
Okay, sweet.
What's it say? What do you need to do?
I make a ranged spell attack.
Sweet.
And on a hit, it takes 1d8 necrotic.
Do make a ranged spell attack with disadvantage, because the dryad is still in the fog.
Okay. That's a 21 for the first one, and the second one. What is that?
Two.
Oh, yeah, a 7. Yeah, it's a 7.
I'm afraid you send a little pew up into the fog, and you I think to be generous, Teddy, you feel this little ice bolt go past your head and like poof, into the tree, and there's a little dart of ice sticking out of the tree, but it kind of whistles past your ear.
Was I at risk there?
Well, it's like, yeah, basically, I wasn't aiming for you, but it's this like skeletal hand flies through the air like blah, 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 blah.
And I zoned out for 30 seconds. So like the last time you were doing anything, you set everything into fog, and then I've just zoned back in and you... like just firing into the fog at random.
No, I'm firing out of the tree, but I missed.
It's all right, I've got your back.
Over to Liam.
So I'm going to run up.
Can
and
I try
I'm...
and shake the cat off as well as a bonus action?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Sorry,
just give me a strength check against the cat.
A strength check against the cat?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to be challenging.
That's a 3.
Would you... Okay. The cat also rolled a 3.
Oh, so we're in contest of strength.
Doesn't it go
but
with
the cat has -4 strength. So oh, you, brilliant. I think the way that this manifests is you completely forget you've got a cat on you for a second. You, like, you forget that it's actually a cute little cat.
Yeah.
And you properly throw it off, and it doesn't quite hit the wall, but it gets very close to hitting the wall.
Oh,
and the cat is off you for now.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Scampers off into the night.
Okay.
Liam.
So I'm going to run up and I'm going to whip my apron off.
No.
I'm going to like waft it to try and clear the fog.
I
look at that team player.
That.
Fucking team player.
Yeah, I don't think you need to make a check for that.
Yeah, but that's an action, right?
Yeah, that'll be my turn. So you waft away the fog and you see, you reveal this scene of Teddy, I think, like, facing the tree with his hammer out, like, I'm ready. And then you see this creature stalking, and it stops as the fog dissipates, and it's kind of been stalking towards Paddy, but just off, and it kind of reroutes itself.
Right.
And you see now this kind of twisted tree person.
Might one of us if we were to roll like
been
a
waiting for one of you to say that, because I almost keep saying its name.
What role would that be?
That'll be a it's a very good question. I think we'll make that nature. A creature
right,
of nature.
I'm pretty sweet in nature. Yeah, 17.
Okay, on a 17 you recognise it. It is a dryad.
Ooh.
They are creatures of the Fae realm. And they are
as
particularly good at, they can do two things particularly well. They can speak to animals and plants. They can also step through trees and use them as kind of portals.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. What are they
places.
Bad at?
You're going to have to find...
For a 17. Oh,
with a 17. A oh, okay. Well, if a 17, you know they're vulnerable to fire. There you go.
They're a tree, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, sick. Well, I don't have
all right,
fire.
It's a dryad. Everyone stay away from other plants and keep an eye on the cat because it's definitely in cahoots.
I've set it up for you, Teddy. Come on.
Right. Oh, it's over to the dryad now. And the dryad...
Oh, yeah, sorry. I've cleared it for the dryad. I've set it up for you, dryad.
The dryad looks at you, Vatic, and sees some... like, you can see weird alien workings out going on in its head as it looks at you and looks at the apron and you fanning it. And it appears to go, I sort of the mastermind of this operation.
Oh,
and it,
crap.
And it
the real brains.
The washerwoman type figure with the apron.
It looks at you, Vatic, and it points and fixes on you, and it starts doing that horrible voice again.
Oh, shit.
Can you please make a strength saving throw?
Okay. I really hope... I've just realised now, I've probably removed my armour, haven't I?
Oh, no, I don't think
okay,
you're an that would be good.
Oh, your apron is your armour.
That is an 11.
An 11, I'm afraid, is not going to cut it. The dryad has a spell save DC of 14, and...
now we know that.
Oh, there you go. There's a little GM tidbit for you all. Enjoy
hey.
That. I'm not getting many of those. And you feel, Vatic, these grasping weeds and vines sprout from the ground around you, and they... grab your legs, much like Vandra's old stone fist spell.
Okay.
And you are restrained, which means I believe you cannot, your speed is 0, you can't benefit from any bonus to your speed, attack rolls against you have advantage, and your melee attacks have disadvantage.
Okay, well, I've got a bow.
Like they did because you're a gnome, it's like tiny little dandelions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no, guys!
It's just a slightly longer
completely immobilized!
It just sounds
help me!
That is the dryad's go though. The cat is gonna see. Nah, cat's gone. Over to you, Zaraka.
All right.
Whale.
I'm just gonna So it's kind of I'm behind it now, aren't I?
Yeah.
If I turn around and behind it, I'm just gonna whale on it.
Do.
All right. Here it is, guys.
I'm ready.
My first non-disadvantage roll with a new dice.
Yeah.
Get ready for that one.
I'm ready, boys.
That's straight one. Oh, it's a 20! Yeah! Actual 20!
Liquid nat 20.
Yeah.
There you go, man. That's what the gods do to you.
That's the power of negative thinking.
Yeah, it is. That's the power of negative thinking.
So you
thinking.
Hit the tree just real hard, my ignoring dude, the dryad.
My dude hit, yeah, you split that tree in two. No, you roll two damage dice.
All right.
And you add the bonus once. Okay?
Okay, all right, cool. So I need a D8,
yeah, which a little, is this one. Pointy boy.
This one, yeah.
That's a D10.
That's a D10.
It's a diamond.
Alright. That's a 2.
Yep. And?
Ooh, damage. A 5.
So 7.
7 plus 3, 10.
10 damage.
10 points of damage.
10 D-dams.
And I think with that, you know, the dryad is still kind of concentrating on Liam, and then there's just a crack around its head, and bits of it splinter off, and you see it go... and like, you know... mobilizes head back into where it is, and it turns and looks at you. Doesn't have any eyes apparently, but look, you know, looks,
yeah,
in direction.
Puts in my direction.
You know, have you got any witty sign off for that?
Ooh, all right, hit him over the head. I've only got shit ones.
Classic. Yeah.
I can't think of what I would say.
Your bark is worse than your bite.
That's a better
that's,
one than what I was
really
gonna go.
Good.
You know what? Because yeah. I was gonna go with 4. Because it was like, I hit him like a golf swing, and that was like it. But I didn't
Timber
give any context to it.
Better.
Timber would have been bad.
What about trees are crowd?
Trees
That's
are crowd?
Dreadful.
That's really bad.
It's dreadful. Looks like you're going to dry hard with a vengeance.
Yeah.
Dry
hard.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
that.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Oh, that's actually really good. You got to think about that one.
Wow.
I like that. It's
yeah,
nice.
It's a thinker.
I don't get it.
Ent, like ent.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we've all done very well.
I'm gonna stick with fuck you, tree.
Right, okay, cool.
If a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, does anyone give a shit?
I was gonna say that.
That's,
and that's good
down.
That you're
yeah.
doing it.
Some kind of crevasse that opened up.
No, it's just by himself, he's running away.
Glitchy boy, over to you, my friend.
I guess I'm gonna keep going through the early learning center spells. So I guess the next one down my list is something that's got a little picture of some acid by it, or some kind of beaker, so I'm going to cast...
Ah, yes. Ancient incantation of Rennie.
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
I'm going to use acid splash.
So what's that, a ranged attack, or...?
No, dexterity saving throw on your part.
Oh, for me.
Yeah.
And he just gets... A tree is not very dexterous. What's your DC?
Just gets heartburn.
Spell save
30.
Well, I rolled a 3.
Awesome. I get to do 1d6 acid damage to you.
Oh, sweet. I'm going to see some fucking shapes now. I'm going to put on a mid-career beat.
Five
points of acid damage.
And it's this big bubble, apparently. It's like this big green bubble.
You
like,
tell me, man.
Like, it's real.
Sorry, like what? Like Banjo from Banjo-Kazooie.
That's good.
That gone, is good. I like that a lot.
Oh, we're all having a ginger.
I think we've probably breached copyright with that.
Of course.
Oh, they'll love it.
Can't monetize this.
I don't know what that was.
Sweet, man. You're having a great day.
Yeah. When it goes to court, let the record show. I don't know what those sounds were.
5 hit points chipped off. Anything else you want to do?
Acid. I'm going to make sure that I'm not near any foliage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're in the beer garden, so it's on the floor. But
well,
no,
so
there's
he can
no
create
thing immediately
foliage.
Around you.
Right, I'm going to stand up on one of the beer tables just to make sure no plants can come out of the ground and grab at my legs.
Is that how it works? It's magic.
Liam, my boys.
Well, I can't move, so...
You can try to free yourself, but it's an action.
Is it an action?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I've got a bow. Might as well use it.
Do it, all right.
Okay. Oh, actually, fuck it. I'm going to use a dagger just because I've got them.
A throwing dagger?
Yeah.
Sweet, all right.
Oh,
chuck
cool.
a dagger.
That is cool.
Why not? Okay. That is... Ooh, that's an 18 plus 5, 23.
That'll hit.
That does hit.
All right.
And she's made of wood as well, so yeah, good shout.
So then dagger, that'll be only a 1 plus 3, 4.
4 hit points. You level this dagger and it hits something deep in this creature's chest. Ooh. And you see a little bit of sap dribble out, but she is just about holding on and kind of is looking at all of you trying to work out what to do. But as she does that, I'm going to roll a concentration check. She maintains a concentration on the spell, so you're still rooted to the spot despite taking that grievous wound. But now she's going to look at you, Glitch.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm assuming you've just stood on a wooden beer.
I really want it to affect him if she does a spell, because I can't have like the world of D&D be undone by like a beer bench.
Can't you, Zach?
Have a little faith, man.
She looks at you, Glitch, and she says the same woody noise, and you feel this compulsion towards her. I don't want to hurt her. Please roll a wisdom saving throw.
Is it? Am I being charmed?
Yeah.
Because I've got advantage on saves against
charm. Ah, shit. I thought you forgot about that.
11. And that's a 4. 11.
Plus what? Do you plus something?
It's a wisdom saving throw, so whatever your wisdom saving throw.
So 13.
I'm afraid, as previously mentioned, her DC is 14.
Oh,
so you are charmed. Now, all this means is she's not like controlling you. Mm-hmm. You just do not want to hurt her.
Okay.
That's what you have to internalize. Let me read out. The charmed creature regards the dryad as a trusted friend to be heeded and protected. Although the target isn't under the dryad's control, it takes the dryad's requests or actions in the most favorable way it can. Each time the dryad or its allies do anything harmful to the target, it can repeat the saving throw, ending the effect on a success.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you hear a whisper in your head, which is just, hurt them. And that's what she'd like you to do.
Oh, and I've got to heed that.
Next up is Zach's turn.
Come on, mate. Left. You've got to absolutely
All right, so
bust
still
this.
Behind it. Just going to wail on it one more time with the Warhammer 2. That's not that great. It's a 7 plus 5.
It's a 12. No, it bounces off a particularly hard bit of bark. I'm afraid. Anything else you'd like to do at this point?
Would it count as an attack if I was trying to, like, I've got my shield out? Can I just, like, strength something, try and knock her prone?
Yeah, that'll definitely be an action. You can certainly try to do that. You can probably make it a grapple to knock her, or just like a strength check to see if you push her over, but that would be instead
and
of
the whole
attack.
Thing. Yeah, okay, fine. Well,
not that. Pads, over to you, my friend.
All right, I can't target old dryad, mate.
Not directly,
stuff
no.
Stuff like that. Okay, well, I'm gonna use the acid spell again, because I can use cantrips over and over again, can't I?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm gonna aim. Is the dryad still like near the tree or underneath?
Yeah,
it or
okay. There's a branch. She's standing near to being under.
Right. Okay. I want to burn through. Mm. I want to throw this acid and burn off a large chunk of these bit of the tree that will then fall on her.
Okay.
But very crucially, I'm angry at the tree.
I think for this to work, I know the spell causes. It needs to make a dex saving throw. I'm gonna level you. That tree can't make a dex saving throw. So make a ranged spell attack to represent you trying to hit this thing.
Trying to hit this thing. Is everyone cool with that? Sweet. That's a 7 total.
Oh. Well, I think you
Maybe
summon
I miss
up another
and hit
bubble.
The giant.
That would be useful. No, but you. I think you hit the tree. There's not much chance you wouldn't hit the tree, but you just kind of shear off a couple of leaves and a branch that falls to the floor next to her, but you don't quite get to her. You don't injure her in any way.
Okay. Guys, I promise you, I am doing my best.
And also, fuck you, apparently.
Yeah, and also, apparently, I'm very angry with you. I've been told to hurt you, so I'm just not doing it, okay?
Dryad, now, with you charmed, walks up to your picnic table, clambers up really slowly and creakily, and she... one of her arms extends out and you see these vines and leaves collect in a club at one end, and she's going to swing it at you and just clatter you with a thing called a shelag.
Oh,
which is a thing she can do.
Little shelag.
That is it's a 14 plus 6, a 20 to hit.
Well, yeah, very very much so, mate.
And very much so a hit, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's 1d8 plus 4, that's 7 hit points damage.
I'm down.
You're down?
Yeah, that's me.
Wow. Also, you can make another wisdom saving throw. Do you know what? You're knocked out. I think it's safe to say you're no longer charmed by this creature.
There you go.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
That is a mighty glitch hit. Over to...
But because she's my friend, I'm like, hit me. Yes, hit me. And I'm really into it.
Over to you. As you go down with a big smile
on
your face.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Did we miss my turn?
Liam, your turn.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to... I don't want to keep on throwing daggers at it, so I'm going to use my short bow.
Nice.
So that's a 10 plus 5, 15.
That'll just hit.
Just a hit, okay. Then I roll a 2 plus 3. That's 5.
My dear gnomey friend.
Hey!
How would you like to do this?
I'm going to aim for... the most facey bit of this this thing. Like, I don't know if I can even make out eyes, but like...
As you see it kind of barreling down on Paddy to finish the job, you knock a bow and hit it right, and I think you just probably get it right in the mouth of the, you know, the kind of this scarry mouth thing, and it just sticks in there, and then this sap starts dripping from down the mouth, and she falls onto the picnic bench next to you, Glitch.
Great.
And you are released from her charm.
Oh, wonderful. I like to think that just before the charm releases, I'm like, tree friend! And I go down and I'm like, you were only... And then I like look inside the mouth and count the rings. 11! And then I snap out of it and I panic.
It's just good.
Yeah!
Dudes, we killed a...
We did kill a tree thing.
Killed a you tree guys out. Solved my tree puzzle.
We did.
Yeah.
Narratively, well though...
And have we got the cat?
I'm still seething, so he wails on it. Just
hitting
smashing
this
the tree.
And you end up with your two fists covered in, like, shards of wood and sap.
Awesome.
Like, if when they come back out into the beer garden to see what's happened, it would be a grisly scene if it wasn't just bark.
Well, and with that, you see there's just one person waiting in the doorway behind Vatic, and it's the little halfling girl, and she's holding a cat, and she's looking at you, Teddy, more than anyone else, and says, oh, thank you, you saved my cat from the tree.
I straight up, yeah, he's still seething, pushes the girl out of the way, walks in, grabs the guy, and takes the money.
Zach's
and,
doing a bar fight.
And takes more of the money.
Come back next week for a big bar fight, like, apparently, guys.
Yeah, fine.
Yay!